morning, New Orleans. My name is Tyler Gibson. I'm joined by my co-host, Andrew Benninger.
Hi, Tyler. How are you doing?
Good. Today we're going to be discussing the various ways that children of illegal immigrants affect society and the New Orleans community. This group has broad impacts on our society, and it's important to see how they affect us. Children of illegal immigrants across the nation affect the education system, the judicial system, the economy, and the governmental budget. We'll also be dealing with how these issues relate to you right here in New Orleans. To start with, there's a difference between illegal immigrants and children of illegal immigrants who have their status as U.S. citizens. Illegal immigrants do not have social security numbers or identification, and their parents do not pay taxes that are going towards the public education system that they use. Because of the large intake of Spanish-speaking students, it means there's a need for English as a second language programs, or ESL.
English as a second language program is important for educating youth who have not been brought up speaking English. Classrooms are becoming filled with illegal aliens, and the demand for teachers, rooms, and other services increase, while less and less can be spent on other programs due to the economy. In this economic climate, most schools are just trying to make do by balancing their budget, and the only way that they can stay afloat is by cutting programs and teachers. Conflict arises when families feel that their students are being restricted and are not receiving the same benefits that they used to because of the need for the ESL program and the cuts that are making that program run. We turn now to New Orleans resident Grant Curry for his views on this issue.
As a parent and a homeowner, I don't feel like Congress should be giving handouts to illegal immigrants' children when my own children aren't receiving the same benefits.
This is a problem that does not stop at the end of the K-12 public school system. When asked in a poll, most immigrants said that they would like to continue with higher education, but they were not able to due to lack of money and constraints within the family. All qualifying citizens of this country are able to receive some sort of need-based scholarships. Illegal immigrants and children of illegal immigrants rarely have access to these funds due to the lack of legal documentation that is required, such as a social security number to apply for FAFSA.
I want to bring up the point that there is a growing trend in America of people wanting to kick out these illegal immigrants from our colleges and schools. Now, personally, I see this from the standpoint of, if you can afford to send your children through the education system, while you may not be a legal citizen, I think that you should be able to do this, because everyone that comes to this country has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Am I right, Tyler?
Right as you may be, it is still a controversial topic in Congress. There are many rallying to eject immigrant students from college. Congress is considering the Federal Dream Act, which would provide a path to citizenship if an immigrant were to serve in the Army or attend college, and would also allow them to receive in-state tuition. This is currently a benefit that is only received by legal residents who have lived in an area for a certain number of years. Louisiana is not a state that allows the practice of allowing illegals to receive in-state tuition. Many people object to this, however. One person we talked to, who prefers to remain unnamed, said it would have greatly aided his educational pursuits.
When did you come to the United States?
When I was 5 years old.
And you went to school in New Orleans?
Yes, we moved around for a bit. When my father first moved here, went to Gonzales and then eventually Lacombe, but yes.
And what was the highest level of education you received?
I graduated from high school with a 4.0.
That's really impressive. Did you think about going to college after that?
Yes, I looked at a number of colleges throughout the South, but because of my immigration status, I couldn't qualify for scholarships.
Let's move on from education to the legal aspects of this issue. The real problem here is that many immigrant children are forced to commit crimes as they get older. Driver's license, for example. Immigrants are unable to obtain them, and therefore have to either A, drive without a license and insurance, or B, obtain a fake or fraudulent driver's license. These are not crimes committed out of choice, but out of necessity. The secondary effect is of encouraging those without legitimate insurance or identification to flee the scene of an accident.
Absolutely. And this catch-22 extends to most aspects of life, even in the job market. Immigrants cannot get a legitimate Social Security number and are forced to either obtain an off-the-books job or commit fraud and obtain a Social Security number. Also, we should note that by having these off-the-book jobs, these immigrants are committing tax fraud and as such can be pursued by the IRS.
Sadly, yes. And let's not forget the secondary impacts of using fraudulent identification. I'd imagine many are not willing to risk their fake IDs being noticed when trying to board a plane, talk to the police, or even buying a movie ticket.
And you bring up an important subject there, Tyler, when it comes to interactions with the police. Many immigrants we talked to expressed a distrust and disdain for the police out of fear that they would talk to government officials, which may result in their deportation. If you found yourself in a bad situation or an emergency, would you feel comfortable calling in OPD?
Not necessarily.
Why is that?
Well, because I'm illegal, I would have to provide papers that I don't have.
Even if they are victims of a crime, many illegal immigrants would rather not report the incident to the police, but simply leave out of fear.
I know of a family who lives near me. A few months back, there was a car accident right outside their house. I was walking by just after it happened. It was rather serious, and the police were interviewing everyone in the area. I couldn't help but notice how the family brought all their kids inside right away and shut their door. Even though all the police were interested in was this car accident, the family was afraid of the consequences of talking to police.
That's very interesting, Tyler, because, as you know, NOPD announced recently that they would no longer ask about the legal status of anyone who is the victim of a crime or a witness to a crime. Obviously, from your experience, this does not seem to have had much of an effect.
I'm just speculating here, but I'd imagine that this is out of a genuine mistrust of police. It's easy to say you're not going to ask these types of questions, but given the risks and the current political climate, I don't think I trust my future to the word of government officials either. And this obviously is another negative impact for the community, as it makes it harder for NOPD to investigate crime in immigrant neighborhoods.
You know, I think it goes further than that, Tyler. The financial aspect is obvious. Lost tax revenue, higher insurance premiums, additional investigative resources being allocated. But there are also secondary effects. How exactly do illegal immigrants go about these fraudulent identifications? In many cases, it puts money in pockets of local criminal organizations and black markets. A real problem here in New Orleans.
Good point, Andrew. And in addition, there's the personal side of these legal problems. Children who are brought here illegally have no way to legitimize their status as it stands right now. The only way to obtain any sort of visa or permanent resident status is to first go back to their home country and then get in line on the long waiting list for visas. Even then, the visa application process is costly, and there's no guarantee that they'll actually get a visa in the end anyway. In addition, I understand that the INS currently mandates a 10-year waiting period for anyone who has entered the country illegally.
And you know, Tyler, since these children have no real ties to their home country, I can see how the idea of going back and spending years and substantial amounts of money there is a non-starter for these children and young adults.
Too true, Andrew. And then there's the legal challenges facing those who are born here as citizens to illegal parents. These children have never even visited their supposed home countries, but what happens if their parents are discovered and deported? The INS currently does not consider the legal status of one's children when deciding for or against deportation. Furthermore, you must be 21 years of age before you can sponsor your non-citizen parents for a visa or a green card.
I can imagine a tough scenario here, Tyler. What if you're 15 years old and your parents are deported back to Mexico? You either go back with your parents to a country you've never been to before, or you stay here in the only country you've ever known as the ward of the state.
A sad state of affairs, Andrew. And again, we can see the cost for the New Orleans community, from legal fees to the increased funding necessary to support these potential foster children, not even to mention the human cost of families being torn apart.
Of course. On the other hand, the system as it is creates this problem. Under the 14th Amendment, simply being born here makes you a U.S. citizen. Consequently, there are incentives for illegal immigrants to have their children here in order to make them U.S. citizens. One day, these U.S. citizens can sponsor their parents and bring them to America legally. Thus, any attempt to provide some sort of exception for these children would encourage many to game the system even more than it already is. Instead of going through the costly and extensive legal process, you could simply have your kids born here and then have them sponsor you, and you could become a legal resident of the United States.
Let's turn to some actual New Orleans residents talk about how they feel immigration has affected them and their community.
As a resident of the area, I feel that as long as the illegal immigrants do jobs that benefit the community and give back, I think it's okay, and they should have a home here.
Let's not forget all the negative consequences we have talked about here are the products of the system itself, not the immigrants. Changes to the system could bring these individuals out of the dark and make them productive members in our community. Let's go over the few of the policy solutions that we thought of.
Well, first, Andrew, there is the much talked about amnesty proposal. The idea is that we somehow normalize the status of all those here legally. This has the benefit of solving the financial and criminal effects, but at the same time, the very concept of amnesty creates a lot of political tension. Many in the community reject the idea out of hand because they see it as rewarding illegal behavior.
There's also the proposed guest worker program. This program would legitimize the status of those living here to find work, but stops short of granting permanent residence status. However, critics say this proposal is the worst of both sides. On one hand, the program may not go far enough to be a viable legal alternative for immigrants, and at the same time, it does little to allay the backlash from the community.
While it will take much more work to come to some sort of mutually agreeable solution, it is without a doubt that the negative impacts of immigration for the New Orleans community and elsewhere are the result of the immigrants' legal status, not the immigrants themselves.
If they could obtain legal identification, they could pay taxes, educate their kids, drive safely, and live decent lives, all without supporting local crime elements through the black market. The system as it is simply does not work. It is harmful to immigrants, and it is harmful to the New Orleans community.
Thank you, Tyler, and thank you all for listening, and I just want to say for the both of us, have a great Saturday.